This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Radio South Tyneside, your caring community radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
The theme of my programme today is Mothering Sunday, and is dedicated to all mothers everywhere. Our first hymn has a verse in it which praises God for the joy of human love. Let's listen to For the Beauty of the Earth, sung by Libra. There's someone that every single one of us has in common. We have all had a mother. Regardless of what kind of mother they've turned out to be, today we give thanks for them regardless, because through their labour, they have given us the gift of life, the most precious gift of all. There's a lovely passage in Proverbs where the praises of a good mother are listed. I realise that it's entitled A Wife of Noble Character, but she must be a mother too, as one line says, her children arise and call her blessed. Let's listen to it, shall we? A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household, and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honour her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. So to sum up, the mother mentioned in Proverbs 31 is hardworking, faithful and loyal. She's wise, strong and dignified. No wonder she is praised by everyone. But is she a little bit too perfect to be true, I wonder? Is this just a set of rules for all wives and mothers? Well, actually it is. It's described as a mother advising her son on the kind of woman that would make him happy. Shame, isn't it, that there isn't one in the Bible for husbands and fathers, entitled A Husband of Noble Character. Then the men could learn a lot about how to make a woman happy too. But today is Mothering Sunday, and we're trying to focus on mothers. Let's hear Dolly Parton singing a well-known song called She's an Eagle. I love that part where she sings that a mother is an everlasting shoulder, the leaning post of life.
She's been there, God knows she's been there. She has seen and done it all. She's a woman, she knows how to dish it out or take it all. Her heart's as soft as feathers, still she weathers stormy skies, and she's a sparrow. But she's an eagle when she flies. A kaleidoscope of colors, you can toss her round and round. You can keep her in your vision, but you'll never keep her down. She's a lover, she's a mother, she's a friend, and she's a wife, and she's a sparrow when she's broken. But she's an eagle when she flies. Gentle as the sweet, strong as steel, her faith and pride. She's an everlasting shoulder, she's the leaning post of life. She hurts deep, and when she weeps, she's just as fragile as a child, and she's a
My own mother died last year in July, and this song is one I wrote for her quite a while ago now, to let her know how much she was loved and appreciated by us all. Now, there just may be someone listening in this morning who's been in a similar position recently. This song is for you too. It's called A Mother's Love.
A mother's love is precious, a mother's love is kind, helpful and caring, that's how she was designed. And if there is unfairness, a threat, or if we're faced, she'll come straight to the rescue and try to play. She will always keep us right and hold us in her loving heart from morning until night. A mother is a warrior, but there's no lovelier face than one who watches over us and blesses all our days. A mother's love is filled with pride, she boasts all of the time and hugs us with lavish love, it's something she can't hide. She gives out such warmth in affectionate embrace, that's why a mother's tender love can never be replaced. A mother that is dignified, a mother that is strong, can help us face our worries and laugh at days to come. She speaks words of wisdom, she teaches us with grace, and no one can surpass her, no one can take her place. Lord, comfort those who mourn for mothers that have gone. Remind them of the precious moments, help them pass them on. A mother's love's a legacy that cannot be erased, and hopefully our children too one day will sing our praise.
The path of how to be a good wife and mother is often learnt on the job, over a long period of time. For mothers never stop learning, and I say that from experience. And by the time we've gathered in wisdom and experience, we're often old and haggard, worn out and frail, rather like birds in spring at the end of the nesting season, and our advice may not be needed, but at least we've become real. Let me explain that phrase. Marjorie Williams once wrote a book called The Velveteen Rabbit, all about a rabbit becoming real. And I'd like to read you a rather large section of this morning. It makes the very same point. But first let's have another song about the memories it's important to make in life. It's important to make them special ones and live each day with our families. It's written and sung here by Mike Grayson.
I never wanna be too busy, I never wanna be too proud, I never wanna make excuses for never being around, and I wanna make time, I wanna make time. Making memories. I never want my son to resent me or despise the dreams I chase. I never want my promises found empty, disappointment in his face. And I wanna make time, I wanna make time, I wanna make time for making memories.
What is real? Asked the rabbit one day when he and the skin horse were lying side by side near the nursery fender before Nana came to tidy the room. Does it mean having things that buzz inside you and a stick-out handle?
Real is how you are made, said the skin horse. It's a thing that happens to you.
When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real. "Does it hurt?" asked the rabbit. "Sometimes," said the skin horse, for he was always truthful. "When you are real, you don't mind being hurt." "Does it happen all at once, like being wound up?" he asked, or bit by bit?" "It doesn't happen all at once," said the skin horse. "You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't happen often to people who break easily, or have sharp edges, or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off, and your eyes drop out, and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you are real, you can't be ugly, except to people who don't understand." "I suppose you are real," said the rabbit, and then he wished he had not said it, for he thought the skin horse might be sensitive. But the skin horse only smiled. "The boy's uncle made me real," he said. "That was a great many years ago, but once you are real, you can't become unreal again. It lasts for always." The rabbit sighed. He thought it would be a long time before this magic called real happened to him. He longed to become real, to know what it felt like. And yet the idea of growing shabby and losing his eyes and whiskers was rather sad. He wished that he could become it without these uncomfortable things happening to him. There was a person called Nana who ruled the nursery. Sometimes she took no notice of the playthings lying about, and sometimes, for no reason whatever, she went swooping about like a great wind and hustled them away in cupboards. She called this tidying up. And the playthings all hated it, especially the tin ones. The rabbit didn't mind it so much, for wherever he was thrown, he came down soft. One evening, when the boy was going to bed, he couldn't find the china dog that always slept with him. Nana was in a hurry, and it was too much trouble to hunt for china dogs at bedtime. So she simply looked about her, and seeing that the toy cupboard door stood open, she made a swoop. "Here," she said, "take your old bunny. He'll do to sleep with you." And she dragged the rabbit out by one ear and put him into the boy's arms. That night, and for many nights after, the velveteen rabbit slept in the boy's bed. At first he found it rather uncomfortable, for the boy hugged him very tight, and sometimes he rolled over on him, and sometimes he pushed him so far under the pillow that the rabbit could scarcely breathe. And he missed too those long moonlight hours in the nursery, when all the house was silent, and his talks with the skin horse. But very soon he grew to like it, for the boy used to talk to him and make nice tunnels for him under the bedclothes that he said were like the burrows the real rabbits lived in. And they had splendid games together in whispers when Nana had gone away to her supper and left the nightlight burning on the mantelpiece. And when the boy dropped off to sleep, the rabbit would snuggle down close under his little warm chin and dream, with the boy's hands clasped close around him all night long. And so time went on, and the little rabbit was very happy, so happy that he never noticed how his beautiful velveteen fur was getting shabbier and shabbier, and his tail becoming unsewn, and all the pink rubbed off his nose where the boy had kissed him. Spring came, and they had long days in the garden, for wherever the boy went, the rabbit went too. He had rides in the wheelbarrow, and picnics on the grass, and lovely fairy huts built for him under the raspberry canes behind the flower border. And once, when the boy was called away suddenly to go out to tea, the rabbit was left out on the lawn until long after dusk, and Nana had to come and look for him with a candle, because the boy couldn't go to sleep unless he was there. He was wet through with the dew and quite earthy from diving into the burrows the boy had made for him in the flower bed, and Nana grumbled as she rubbed him off with a corner of her apron. "You must have your old bunny," she said. "Fancy all that fuss for a toy." The boy sat up in bed and stretched out his hands. "Give me my bunny," he said. "You mustn't say that. He isn't a toy. He's real." When the little rabbit heard that, he was happy, for he knew that what the skin horse had said was true at last. The nursery magic had happened to him, and he was a toy no longer. He was real. The boy himself had said it. That night he was almost too happy to sleep, and so much love stirred in his little sawdust heart that it almost burst. And into his boot button eyes that had long ago lost their polish, there came a look of wisdom and beauty, so that even Nana noticed the next morning when she picked him up and said, "I declare, if that old bunny hasn't got quite a knowing expression." I'd also like to say that by the time we mothers grow old and more real ourselves, we begin to see the fruit of all those years of love and care as we see our children grow and develop. It reminds me of a song which I often play at Christmas. I've chosen it because it puts an important question to Mary, mother of Jesus. It goes something like this. "Did you have any idea your son would turn out as he did?" No mother knows what qualities lie dormant in her children, but hopefully through love and devotion, they will come good. All she can do in life is her best. Here's Pentatonix singing, "Mary, Did You Know?"
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?
Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new?
This child that you delivered will soon deliver you.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand?
Did you know?
Also appears in our gospel reading for today. It's this one from John 19, verses 25 to 27. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her into his own home. Did you hear there, as Jesus is dying on the cross in agony, his heart goes out to his mother. He needs someone to take care of her in her grief. He must repay her for her kindness, her loyalty and care. I wonder how she felt when he begged John to look after her. It's a very tender moment. Her son, with his dying breath, brought her to mind, rather like some wounded soldier on a battlefield crying out for those loving arms in which he once felt so safe. Most mothers, I would imagine, want to know that they're appreciated and loved. How have we shown our appreciation to ours? And here we must end the programme. I hope you're listening next Sunday, wherever you are. Here to finish is a most beautiful song with appropriate words. Even that line which says, I am strong when I am on your shoulders, is relevant because really when you think about it, this is the place where a mother seems to carry the full weight of all her worries for her children. This is a thank you song in itself. Please enjoy this version of You Raise Me Up, sung here by Lisa Kelly from the group Celtic Woman. And do have a good week. And a special goodbye to all of you mothers out there. Bye for now.
When I am down and oh my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. Tomorrow.